Yes, so we want to thank you this day that you are seated upon the throne of heaven. And we want to declare today, Lord, you are seated upon the throne of this church. And we want to declare this morning, Lord, that you are seated upon the throne of our lives. And Lord, we want to surrender and submit it all to you and exalt your greatness and your majesty and your power to celebrate your goodness and your grace and your faithfulness. Truly, you are a God who reigns. You are the God who reigns, and you reign right here, right now. So Lord, as we open up your word, we just pray that you would have your way. Holy Spirit, would you come? You are the teacher, you are the guide, you are the one that we look to for wisdom and for inspiration. And I pray, Lord, that you would have the ability to speak to us all as only you can in the next few minutes or so. So Lord, we soften our hearts, we open our spiritual ears, and we say, Lord, come speak. Come speak your word to us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Fantastic. Please take a seat. Well, good morning. How are we?
Good.
All good? Yeah? All ready to go?
Yeah?
Excellent. Thank you, team. That was great. So last week, we kicked off a series called Lord, Teach Us to Pray. And I'm working my way through the Lord's Prayer just for the month of October, I guess. Last week, we started with verse 9, the introduction there, which said, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." And as we discussed last week, we pray to a God who sits on the throne and yet holds us close under the shadow of his wing. We pray with reverence, and we pray from intimacy. We pray with a confident boldness that comes from the strength of Christ's victory on the cross. We pray with a deep awe that comes from the glory of his holiness and his might. And we pray with a warm tenderness that comes from his open invitation to draw near to him. There you go, that was last week. I'm not sure why that took me 40 minutes last week, but there you go, I can do it in 40 seconds. God, lesson learned. Okay, this week we're on verse 10. Rapid progress here. And verse 10, as I'm sure you know, says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So if the first verse tells us to whom we are to pray, this one, I think, defines our overall mandate. This is our purpose. It's the target. It's the framework to hang everything on. This is what we should hold in our minds as we pray. And ultimately, this is what it's all about. Thy kingdom come. And thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the target as we pray is the extension of his kingdom and the implementation of his will. And that leads, I think, to a big idea, which is this. We pray not for our own advancement, nor to get our own way, but we pray to see God's kingdom advance and his way prevail. And that means that we pray from a posture of submission, yet expectation. Submission because he is the Lord of Lords. Expectation because he is the King of Kings. Submission because he is the Alpha. An expectation because he is the Omega. So, dive in. There's two phrases there, as I'm sure you've spotted. The first one, thy kingdom come. Quickly, let's define terms. The kingdom of God, quite simply, is the place of God's rule and reign. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news." This week I just tracked quickly the kingdom of God through the gospels, through the New Testament. And the kingdom of God, of course, or in Matthew, the kingdom of heaven, was absolutely central to Jesus' teaching. It was his central theme, if you like. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthews 5, 6, and 7, Jesus described what kingdom life looked like. Many parables, if you remember, begin, "The kingdom of heaven is like," and then described how God's kingdom works and how it grows and how it transforms. Jesus' miracles, his acts of healing and deliverance were signs of the kingdom breaking in. God's power undoing the effects of the principality of darkness. Jesus, of course, taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come." He taught us, Matthew 6:33, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And Jesus' disciples, Matthew 9, verse 2, were sent out to proclaim the kingdom. So from beginning to end, Jesus' ministry was about announcing and demonstrating and embodying the rule and reign of God. A kingdom rule that is present now in part, but one day in the future is coming in full. Praise the Lord. And hence the imperative in this prayer to pray, "Your kingdom come." We need more of his kingdom. We need his kingdom to grow in influence. We need the power of his kingdom to break through. Hence we pray, "Your kingdom come." We need his kingdom to come in us, transforming and empowering and directing us. We need his kingdom to come through us as we share the good news, as we do the works of Jesus, as we heal the sick, as we resist the enemy, as we represent the Lord as ambassadors wherever we go. And thirdly, we need his kingdom to come around us into a world shrouded in darkness, running in the wrong direction. Frankly, is utterly missing the point. And of course, we long for the day when his kingdom comes in glory, in fullness, when Christ reigns openly, when every wrong is made right. And as the prophet said, Habakkuk 2:14, "The earth will be filled with the knowledge of this glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Daniel 2:44, "In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them into an end, and it shall stand forever." Revelation 11:15, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Amen. Amen. And so that's the background. I guess the question is, how does that inform and direct our prayers? And to do this, I'm going to look at it through two lenses. I'm going to look at it through the personal lens, and I also want to look at it through a corporate lens. I mean, this is a call to prayer for you individually, so also a call to prayer for us as a church, as a whole. So personally, I've described this as shaping the heart of the disciple. "Lord, let your kingdom come in me." And when I pray that, when I pray your kingdom come, I'm asking really for God's reign to be established in me first. So his rulership, if you like, is the defining feature of my life. And I reckon there are three aspects to that. The first one is personal surrender. I invite the Holy Spirit to reign in my thoughts and my choices and my desires. I choose to seek God's rule over every part of my life. Number one, personal surrender. Number two, kingdom priorities. When I pray your kingdom come, that reorders what I pray for. It becomes less about my comfort and more about conformity to Christ. And that draws my heart to God's purposes, to God's priorities, to God's mission, and not just my own needs. We come to that next week. And then thirdly, when I pray your kingdom come, I'm looking to a future hope. And so praying that prayer lifts my eyes from the temporary to the eternal, reminding me that my hope is not in earthly things or people or systems, but my hope is in the coming reign of Christ the King. So that prayer personally is about shaping the heart of the disciple. Corporately, that means as a body, it's about shaping the life and mission of the church. So when we pray, when the church prays, your kingdom come, we are committing ourselves to live in determined pursuit of kingdom purposes, to become a beacon, to become a standard, to become ambassadors for God's visible reign in this world. And again, three aspects of that prayer. Firstly, when we as a church pray, your kingdom come, we're seeking direction for mission. The kingdom, as we know, advances by evangelism. Salvation, if you like, for all those outside of the kingdom. So every act of compassion and justice and reconciliation and mercy becomes a signpost to the coming kingdom. Secondly, when as a church we pray, your kingdom come, we're praying for unity in surrender. What do I mean by that? Well, this prayer reminds us, if we need it, that it is his kingdom and not ours. And so in praying that prayer together that guards the church against pride or against division or against self-centered agendas. And it also, I reckon, takes the pressure off us to be the saviour and draws us together in a common mission. It also keeps worship central because our task is not to build an empire. Our task is to keep exalting the King of Kings. And then the third part of this, the church's prayer, your kingdom come, is intercession for the world. Paul summed it up perfectly, 1 Timothy 2. Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God and Saviour, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So I said earlier, we pray from a posture of submission and expectation. Surrender to the rule and reign of God in every way, but with a confident expectation that the purposes of the one who is able, the one who is mighty, the one who is sovereign will come to pass. We pray with our eyes looking ahead, remembering that one day he is coming back, ushering in the fullness of his kingdom rule and authority. Right at the end, Revelation 22, verse 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. So first prayer, thy kingdom come. Second half, thy will be done. You know, when I read that through, I don't think this one is complicated. But just to be thorough, we'll break it down in a very subtle manner. First word, thy. Thy kingdom come. Let's make it clear from the outset whose kingdom we're talking about, right? Whose will we're talking about. I've got an October month of prayer playlist going on, rolling round and round and round and round with some fantastic old songs and great guitar, Hillsong guitar licks in it, that kind of thing. Here's one of them. This is Paul Oakley. Says, it's all about you, Jesus. Do I need to pause for dramatic effect to get the message? It's all about Jesus, and all this is for you, for your glory and your fame. It's not about me, as if you should do things my way. You alone are God, and I surrender to your ways. What's the line? We don't pray trying to change God's heart and trying to change God's mind, but we pray inviting him to change ours. So we pray with deep consecration. Just like Jesus did at Gethsemane when he prayed this, Matthew 26:39. My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken from me. And we know what that cup was. But here are the words. Yet, I want your will to be done and not mine. So first word, thy. Second word is will. And the Greek word here means will and choice and inclination and desire and pleasure. Your choice, your inclination, your desire, your pleasure be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we pray for the outcome that God would choose. We pray in the direction his heart would incline. We pray to satisfy his desire. We pray to bring him pleasure. And I guarantee that if you pray like that, it will redirect your prayer life in a very powerful way. Second thought on that word will, his promises express his will. So if you're ever kind of seeking or wondering or unsure of what his will is, simple. Just pray his promises. There are lots of promises, of course, to choose from. You might find yourself praying one of these as you pray, God, your will be done. You might find yourself praying Amos 5:24, justice will roll on like a river, righteousness like a never failing stream. You might find yourself praying this, ever unsure what the will of God is. Pray this promise, Romans 10:13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, how about this one, Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. What a great prayer to pray. Unsure about what the will of God for someone is? There it is right there. Philippians 4:19. My God will supply all of their need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 3:16, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he would empower them with inner strength through his Spirit. You know, whenever you pray scripture-based promises over people or over circumstances, you are aligning your prayers with the express will of God. Why? Because his word is his revealed will. And the last thought on this track that I thought was helpful, what does it say? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So again, if you're unsure what or how to pray, ask yourself this. What's it going to look like when we get to heaven? If I'm praying over someone who is sick, what does it look like in heaven? Everyone is healthy and whole. If I'm praying over someone who's full of fear and anxiety, what does it look like in heaven? No more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears. If I'm praying over someone who doesn't know Jesus, what does it look like in heaven? 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, to perish, but wants everyone to repent. What am I saying? ultimately the will of God is revealed in what is it going to look like when we get to heaven. So if you're wondering what to pray, and if your prayer is your will, thy will be done, the answer is as it is in heaven. Okay, so working our way through, thy will, right, number three, be done. Again, look this word up. Literally, it means come to pass. It means come into existence. It means be wrought and be finished. Your will be done. And I'll tell you what came into my mind as I was preparing this during the course of the week. I was reminded, not quite sure why, maybe the Holy Spirit dropped it in my heart. You can tell me whether you think you agree at the end. The song by Stuart Townend, I looked him up on CCLI. He's written over 300 songs, kind of modern hymns, if you like. In Christ Alone, yes, Stuart Townend. He wrote a song called How Long? And it goes like this. Verse 1. We have sung our songs of victory. We have prayed to you for rain. We have cried for your compassion to renew the land again. Now we're standing in your presence, more hungry than before. Now we're on your steps of mercy and we're knocking at your door. Here comes the chorus. How long? How long before you drench the barren land? How long before we see your righteous hand? How long before your name is lifted high? How long before the weeping turns to songs of joy? Anyone ever found themselves praying that? You know, I think the reason that dropped into my mind, I think, is that we've been praying, thy will be done, for years. We've been praying it for decades. We've been praying it for generations, those of us who are old, like me. And sometimes there is a frustrated sense of, how long, Lord? And you know what? I don't think that's a bad thing. You know, we cry out. We plead for more, desperate to see God intervene. And we should be all of those things. And I think that's what Stuart Townend's song was all about. My brother recorded a fantastic version of this song. So we pray, how long? But as we do so, there are certain things that we need to hold in tension. Four things on my list. Number one, we pray how long? But we pray with confident faith, knowing that God is sovereign. He's seated on the throne, right? So we pray how long, also with an element of the holy dissatisfaction, that's fine. As we contend for the purposes of God. I mean, Jesus said, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, because there hadn't been yet, at least not in entirety. So we pray how long with a tenacious persistence, knowing that we're in a spiritual battle. Anyone else spotted that? And we pray or we sing how long with precision and intentionality, knowing that his will is clearly defined in his word. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, get in there now. Just want to kind of personalize this. I want to make it really practical for you as we're in a month of prayer. Lots of theory, all good stuff. I'm sure the question is, so what? And now what? So number one, what does it mean? What does it mean for you right now to pray, your kingdom come? Okay, teleport yourself into your own circumstances. Shouldn't take too much imagination. What does it mean for you right now into that to pray, your kingdom come? And I'm going to answer that in a series of questions. And you can take those questions to the Lord as you pray. Ask him to allow them to inform your prayer, if you like. And of course, they're on the handout. The handout will be, incidentally, is completed and kind of discussion question attached to that and sent out, placed on the church website, sent out to planning center groups. So you should all have access to the completed handout if you need it. But I reckon, take these questions to the Lord. Number one, remember, it's what does it mean right now for you to pray, your kingdom come? four of them. Number one, what or who around you still needs to bow the knee? You know, where is their resistance? Where is their ungodliness or unholiness? Where are their competing, contrary agendas? What or who or where or how needs to surrender to the rule and reign of God? So as you're praying this prayer, your kingdom come, ask yourself that question. Who or what around you still needs to bow the knee? Question number two. So we're going to personalize this. Question number two is, where do you personally still need to bow the knee? Are there any fears or attitudes or habits that still need to be surrendered? So God's will can reign in your life. Question number three, as you look around, invite God in, ask him, show you. Where do you see brokenness and pain? And how can you invite God's kingdom into that as you pray? And then number four, what does hope look like? And how do I pray into that? You know, when you imagine heaven's fullness, what aspects of it do you long to see reflected in your home or your work life or your church or indeed our nation? So as you begin to pray, thy kingdom come, ask yourself those questions. And then ask, Lord, how should I pray? And then pray it. Pray the words, your kingdom come, and invite the rule of God and the power of God and the transformation of God into each of those areas. Number two, what does it mean for you right now to pray, God, your will be done? What does that mean? Of course, the first prayer, this is obvious, I think, is, Lord, your will be done in me. Where in my life do I need to surrender control? Do I have any heart issues? Do I have any stubborn attitudes? Do I have any destructive habits? Are there any spiritual imperatives that I'm still resisting? Are there any issues where, if I am brutally honest, I'm pursuing my own will and my own plan and my own ambitions and my own preferences? That's where this prayer starts, I think. Lord, your will be done. Some additional questions, though. Three more. Question number one. What situations might dramatically change if you start to pray the will of God over them? Things that need to align themselves with the plans and purposes of heaven. Ask yourself that question as you pray. Your will be done. What situations that I'm facing right now could and should and will dramatically change if I start bombarding it with the promises of God? Number one. Number two, what are the promises that you need to throw at your problems? Here's the verse, 1 John 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. I mean, that prayer has got to be attached to Matthew 6, verse 10. And then verse 15. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. So as you pray over your life, over your friends, over your circumstances, your will be done. Ask God, what promises in your word do I need to throw at this situation? And then watch them explode and watch them change. And then last question here, what does heaven on earth look like? What does heaven on earth look like in your home? What does it look like in your church? What does it look like in your community? And how could you pray towards that? God, your will. Lord, make this place more like heaven than earth. Make it more like your home than mine. Okay, nearly there. I'm going to give you a prayer challenge. Are you up for a challenge? Okay, so as part of your prayer this week, this month, once you've done what we did last week, what did we do last week? A couple of minutes of reverence and a couple of minutes of intimacy. I'm going to encourage you to spend 2 minutes on each of these. So you're up to 8 already. So you're well on the way to finishing your prayer hour. Okay, 2 minutes on each. Number one, over what or over whom can I pray your kingdom come? That's a challenge. Over what or over whom can you pray your kingdom come? Is there a person or a place or a situation that desperately needs the power and the influence of the kingdom of God? And I'm sure there is. So anywhere that needs an outbreak of mercy and justice or peace. And once you've identified that, pray. Simple prayer. Lord, break in. Lord, take over. Lord, turn that situation around for your glory and for the advancement of your kingdom. And then the second one, second 2 minutes, let's get this right. Over what or whom can I pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Simply, where does his will need to be done? Where does it need to be done in my heart? Where does it need to be done in my life or circumstances? Where does it need to be done? Perhaps in the wider world, or maybe in the heart of another. And then pray this. Pray, Lord, may your perfect will be done as I trust in you and as I stand on your promises. Amen. You know, a few minutes on each of those will give your prayers a real focus. And not only that, it'll make sure that you pray, you are praying as Jesus taught us to pray, which is, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, I'd like to invite the worship team to come back up and gather and assemble if that's okay. We're going to take this into a time of response now. Look at that, 30 minutes. Praise the Lord, I did so good today. Give me a clap. No. Okay, so the team are going to lead us in a time of worship. And do you know what? Very, very simple response there. I'm just going to encourage you to get on your knees, whether that's physically or metaphorically, and pray those prayers. Pray, God, your kingdom come. Pray, Lord, your will be done. You might want to pray it over your life. You might want to pray it over your circumstance. You might want to pray it over this church. There may be something very specific that the Holy Spirit has dropped into your heart this morning that you want to pray this over. Just pray, God, your kingdom come. God, your will be done. I mean, think about it for a second. How much better is it going to look? I mean, I'm all for my will being done if I'm in my selfish place, but how much better is the world going to look if God's kingdom comes and if God's will be done? I mean, why would we not pray like this? I don't know. So, as always, the prayer ministry team will be available for you over in this corner. They will help you pray these two prayers if you like, or indeed if there's anything else you'd like prayer for this morning. I'm going to encourage you to stand. And I'm going to just pray really, really quickly. Then I'll hop back on the bass. We'll sing the next song and I'll pass back to Mary to steward the rest of our service. So Lord, we are utterly in awe of you. And why, Lord, would we not pray your will be done? I mean, let's be honest, Lord, your will is always 100% of the time going to be infinitely better and preferable to mine. And Lord, why wouldn't we pray your kingdom come? How much better would this world look in the fullness of the glory of your kingdom? So Lord, we've worked our way through all the words and the details of this morning. Lord, they give us the framework and the mandate and the purpose, I guess, of our prayers, which is the implementation of your will, the extension and advancement of your kingdom. So Lord, we give you these next few minutes. Time to worship, time to seek your face, time to cry out. It might be how long? And Holy Spirit, we pray that you would inform and empower and enlighten and elevate our prayers. As we pray, your will be done, your kingdom come in this place. Holy Spirit, we give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen.